Good morning. We've got some visitors here today, and we're grateful that you're here. We welcome you to our worship gathering together this morning. As we get started together, I want us to begin in a word of prayer to start with. So would you bow with me and let's pray? Almighty Father, Lord of heaven and earth, God of all creation, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, you are worthy of all of our praise, and yet all of our praise is so unworthy. We cast all of our crowns before you, all of our accomplishments. All that we could do is nothing before your greatness, and so we surrender it to you. We come before your presence, and we declare your greatness, and we say to you this morning, Jesus, that you are worthy as the Lamb who was slain. You are worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. We know that one day every creature in heaven and on earth will bow before you. And today, as we've gathered in your name, we surrender and bow our spirits before you. For we know that you are the one that sits on the throne. You are the one that's in control. And to you, Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, may it be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. We've been talking for the last several weeks about how Jesus has been specific when it comes to prayer. Jesus has given us some specific instruction about how we can connect with God. And so that's what we've been looking at the last several weeks in this series, is connecting with God. Jesus says something in his teaching on prayer that has the potential to offend you. He says, you know, you may have been praying your whole life, and you may have been praying wrong. You may have been praying incorrectly. And you say, did Jesus really say that? Well, people came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, which indicates that maybe we've still got something to learn about it. If someone needs to be taught, that may imply that maybe we don't know as much as we think we know about prayer. I think we're inclined to think that prayer is just talking to God. Just talk to Him. Just say whatever's on your mind or in your heart. I think we're all inclined to think that all prayer, regardless of how it is used, is acceptable before God. But you see, what Jesus is saying, He's not discouraging us from making our best effort. He's not at all discouraging you and me from just talking with God. We should do that. But what He is doing is He's saying, you came to me and asked. Disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray the way you pray. There was something different about the way Jesus connected with the Father, and they noticed. And Jesus is basically saying, you came to me and asked. You asked. I find it interesting sometimes we as human beings ask questions that we really don't want to know the answer to. We ask questions thinking we really want to know, but then about the time someone starts into the answer, we kind of glaze over, tune out, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute, I wish I hadn't asked. But Jesus' disciples asked, and we should ask, Lord, how do we pray the way you prayed? How do we connect with God the way you connected? And Jesus is saying, well, since you ask, let me just tell you, if you really want to know, if you really want to dig deeper, if you really want to know a richer experience of prayer, if you really want to connect with God, then keep listening. Jesus is very specific about prayer. He said, first, whenever you pray, you should go into your room and close the door. You should be very intentional and deliberate and specific. In other words, don't just pray on the go in the busyness of life when you're going to and fro and running and multitasking and doing numerous things at once. But instead, if you really want to connect with God, find a time where you're not doing anything else but talking to God. You're not driving and talking to God. You're not checking email and talking to God. You're not grocery shopping and talking to God or folding laundry and talking to God. Not that he's discouraging any of that. Please don't misunderstand. But what he's saying is, if you really want to connect with God, you need some times where you're doing nothing else but going in your room, close the door, and pray. And by the way, he says, as we saw in the previous lessons, it's not really about what your wants, desires, and needs are. Don't spend a lot of time on that. Don't spend a lot of time talking to God about what you need or what you want or how you want to be blessed. Because after all, God already knows all of that. So don't waste your time on it. Don't spend a lot of time on it because he already knows what you need even before you ask him. So we're sitting there thinking, okay, if that's true, then what am I going to do when I'm in that room? What am I going to pray about? And as we saw last week, well, if you're going to pray, pray like this. Declare his glory. Acknowledge your dependency. And then right in between is the key. Surrender your will. Declare his glory, surrender your will, and acknowledge your dependency. After all, Jesus is saying to you and me that if you really want to know how to connect with God, you need to realize prayer is not about getting stuff from someone. It is about connecting with someone. It's about connecting in relationship with God. Now, that brings us to our text, Luke chapter 11. If you look in Luke chapter 11, you notice in the first verse that Jesus is in a solitary place, a certain place praying. In other words, Jesus didn't just tell us, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. He actually did this. He modeled this. He went to a certain specific place for nothing but a time of focused connection with God. And his disciples saw that. Maybe they overheard him praying, because whenever he got up from that prayer, they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. There was clearly something different about the way Jesus prayed than anything they had ever seen before. It was deeper, it was richer, it was more connected to God. And they wanted to know how to do that. You see, Jesus doesn't respond to them when they say, Lord, teach us to pray. He says, oh, it's easy, just talk to God. Just say whatever's on your mind, say whatever's on your heart. He doesn't say that. Instead, he agrees, okay, you asked, you want to be taught, let me teach you. If you're going to ask, if you really want to know, be ready for the answer. And so Jesus begins to instruct them and to instruct us about how to really pray, how to connect with God, which indicates you can be taught how to pray. And it may also imply that if you've never been taught how to pray, you might be praying incorrectly. These Jewish boys, these followers of Jesus, they'd been praying all their lives. They'd seen prayer. They were bathed in a community of prayer. And yet, they recognized they needed to be taught. And if you need to be taught, then maybe you've been doing it wrong. Now, what's so interesting is, if you notice, and I mentioned this briefly last week, beginning in verse number 2, Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. Listen to this. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Amen. Pretty short. And did you notice Jesus misquoted his own prayer? You've got it memorized, right? It's like, wait a minute, I thought it was, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," not here. He just says, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." You see, I think what that shows us is that Jesus, when he teaches how to pray, he obviously, this is another occasion, and he taught how to pray on numerous different settings, and every time he shows us, this is not something I want you to memorize. This is something I'm modeling for you. I'm giving you a template of how to connect with God deeply. And he shows us it's about acknowledging, declaring God's glory, surrendering your will, and acknowledging your dependency. And he models that for us. Now, then what's so beautiful about this occasion where Jesus teaches prayer begins really in verse number 5. Because here, Jesus identifies with you and me. Have you ever been frustrated with prayer? You ever been frustrated with your own prayer life? Have you ever struggled to pray to God because of the way God had or had not responded to your prayers in the past? Well, Jesus begins by showing us and identifying with us and addressing the number one frustration that we all have about prayer, and that is this: what do you do when it seems that your prayers have gone unanswered? You see, Jesus could have, after modeling the prayer here in Luke, verses number 2 through verse number 4, Jesus could have then launched into any other area of prayer that he wanted to, but he focuses in and addresses what may be the most common frustration about prayer. Because all of us, at one time or another, have felt like, if you're honest, that it seems as if you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed for something and God did not answer. Have you ever prayed to God for something consistently and it seems as if not only did he not answer, but the thing about which you were praying got worse? You see, Jesus is very honest. I love the teaching of Jesus and I love the Bible because nobody could have made this up. If you were making up a story about Jesus, a myth about Jesus, nobody would have included this because it's so brutally honest that the Son of God would acknowledge the fact that we struggle with those questions when it comes to prayer. He knew that we would feel this way, and he knew that we would be inclined to think when our prayers are unanswered that there's something wrong with me, or worse yet, there may be something wrong with God. And Jesus says, "I know your frustration. Let's just get it out on the table. Let's talk about it." And then he tells us what to do about it. That's the beautiful part. So he tells us a story. In characteristic fashion of Jesus' teaching, he has a parable for you and me. He says, okay, there was this guy that is at home, and a friend comes to him at midnight. Let's pick up at verse number 5. "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his," ESV says, "impudence," some translations will say, persistence or boldness, "because of his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." So Jesus says, okay, imagine for just a second that you're at home in bed asleep, you've already put the kids down for the night, and there's a loud knock at the door and a man yelling from the outside saying, "I've had an unexpected visitor come to me here at midnight and I've got no food to serve him. Can I borrow some sugar? Can I borrow a loaf of bread? Can I borrow something so that I can prepare a meal for him?" And Jesus says, basically, there's one rude friend waking up another friend. All right, there's one guy that's been rude to this man, and this man then in turn goes and is rude to his neighbor and rudely awakes him in the night. Now, the best way that I know to explain this, that I heard explained this week in a sermon that I thought was really great, is how can you picture this? Have any of you ever been tent camping with your family? Like all the family in a tent together? Okay, yeah, we're going to have a prayer session for all of us that have experienced that after the service, because that is like, it's like a death sentence. That's like, yeah, I know, yeah, it's enjoyable. There's lots of fun stuff about it, but here's the not so fun thing about it. You know what I'm talking about. You got this tent, big enough for all the family to be in. You got three or four kids. You finally get everybody down for the night. They're all laying in this Jenga pattern, you know, this like, you know, all in this puzzle where everybody's laid just right. Finally, everybody goes to sleep, and then somebody's voice comes in the middle of the night, "I need to go to the bathroom." And that's impossible. It's like, how in the world are we going to get you out of here without waking up the entire tent? It's impossible. Everybody might as well wake back up because one person's got to go to the bathroom. You see, that's what he's talking about here, because the way that these people lived in that day and time, you had to put everybody down for bed at night, and it's like this puzzle, and when somebody comes knocking at the door unexpectedly, it's not like in our homes. You can't just jump up quietly and ease down the hall and open the door and say, "What do you need?" Because when somebody comes knocking at the door, it's going to wake the whole house up. And this man is frustrated by that. And he basically yells out and says, "Don't bother me. Why are you doing this? We just got everybody to sleep. We got everybody in place. Why are you bothering me?" And then Jesus says something so interesting in verse number 8 that we can relate to. But quite honestly, it is shocking to us that Jesus would say this about prayer in our relationship with God. In verse number 8, he says, "I'm telling you," here's the point of the story, "that man will get up, he will disrupt his house, he will wake up his children, and he will give bread to the man that requests him, but not because he's a friend to him. The reason he'll do it is because the man wouldn't leave him alone. Because of his impudence, because of his boldness, because of his persistence, I'm telling you, that man will get up, he will give him a bread, but not because of his friendship, but because he wouldn't quit bothering him. He just bothered him and bothered him and bothered him, and finally he said, 'Quit bothering me. Here, take the bread. In fact, take everything in the refrigerator. Just get out of here. Quit bothering me.'" Now here's the struggle with this. When we read parables, rightfully so, when Jesus is telling one of these stories, we would automatically begin to question, okay, who is who in this story? Right? I mean, for instance, a more well-known parable, the parable of the prodigal son. You know, you got this guy that leaves home and he goes to the far country and he starts living it up in this wild life, and he falls into this horrible state of affairs. And then he comes back home and the father welcomes him and says, "My son who is lost has been found. Come back in, let's have a party for you." And we read that and we say, okay, wait a minute, who's who? Okay, I get it. I'm sinful. I left God. And even though I left God and messed my life up, God is the Father at home and He'll welcome me back. Oh, that's great. But you read this story and you're like, wait a minute, who is who? Well, Jesus is teaching about prayer, so the guy knocking on the door, that's got to be me, the one who's praying. But then who does that make God? That makes God the grumpy old guy in the house saying, "Stop bothering me!" And you're like, wait a minute. Jesus, you're not making God sound too good right here. God is the grumpy God who says, "Don't bother me." Jesus, is that what you're saying? Jesus tells another parable that's very similar to this one. This is in Luke 18, where he tells the story about there's this king, and a widow comes to him saying, "Listen, people have been taking advantage of me, and all this injustice has been occurring, and I need you to avenge me." And so he says, "Woman, quit bothering me." And she keeps coming back. Finally, the king says, "All right, stop it. Fine, I'll do whatever you need, just leave me alone." And Jesus says, pray like that. And you start thinking, and he tells in the beginning of that parable, this was a wicked judge who didn't fear men and had no respect for God. And you start reading and saying, wait a minute, who's God in this story? Is he that wicked king? You see, you start wrestling with this, and what's so beautiful is Jesus is identifying with you and me. You see, the moral, what is the moral of the story? The moral of the story seems to be this when you read it. When you pray, keep banging on the door, keep banging on the door, keep banging on the door, and finally, God will get up and He'll give you what you need. And He'll give you what you need, not because He loves you, not because He's your friend, because He wants you to quit bothering Him. And you're like, wait a minute, that's the moral of the story? All right, what? Think about this now. We get this. You get this if you'll stop and think about it. Particularly if you're a parent, you'll understand this story. You'll understand Jesus' teaching here. How many of you as parents have had your kids ask you for something while you're in the middle, you're maybe in the kitchen doing dishes or preparing a meal, and your kid comes in and says, Daddy, Daddy, can I, just leave me alone. A few minutes later, Daddy, 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 can I, no, leave me alone. Daddy, Daddy, can I, fine, okay, let's do it. Leave me alone, here, have it. Now, if you've ever done that as a parent, in that moment, do you love your kids any less? No. You love your kids just like you always have. You see, parents don't love their kids any more or less because they nag. That's just the nature of children. And we as parents understand that. Well, Jesus teaches us when you pray like this, Our Father. God is our Father. What does that make you and me? His children. Don't you think our Father understands how we are as children? Now, sometimes whenever your kids nag you for something, they nag and nag and nag, and finally you give it to them. And sometimes there'll be a situation where your kid will ask you for something. Let me give you this example. The kids and Michelle and I went this weekend for a few days to visit family in Middle Tennessee, and my dad has a golf cart, and it's like every time I go to visit my family down on the farm, there's all kind of fun stuff to do. We can check the cattle, we can look at chickens and play with kittens, and there's all kinds of stuff to do. But since Dad's got this golf cart, I don't get to see my family the whole time that I'm visiting there because I'm driving the golf cart the whole time. Dad, can we ride on the golf cart? You know, and then we ride on the golf cart. We make a few laps around the house. Then 10 minutes later, Ryder comes and says, Dad, can we ride the golf cart again? Can I drive the golf cart? Can you sit beside me and work the pedal while I steer the golf cart? And then it's like, I never get to see anybody. I'm talking. Let me visit. I'm here to see my family. Dad, can I ride the golf? Okay, let's ride the golf cart again. And we ride the golf cart. And so, you know, you finally give in and you do what your kids want because you love your kids. But sometimes your kid will come and say, Dad, can we ride the golf cart? No, I'm busy right now. Okay. And he walks away. And then I'm like, okay, wait just a minute. Let's go ride the golf cart. Because I liked his attitude. You see, sometimes we as parents, we give in when our kids nag. And sometimes we give in whenever they just walk away, but they have a good attitude about it because we appreciate their attitude. You see, what is that in you and me as parents that have that kind of reaction to our kids? Why is that there? Where did that feeling come from? Jesus said, when you pray, Our Father. Well, maybe, just maybe, that feeling in you and me as parents toward our kids is the thumbprint of God on us. And maybe we can learn something about our relationship with God in the way we interact with our kids. Now, what is the real point of this parable? It is this. Here's the takeaway. God is not bothered when you continually ask Him for something. He is honored by it. Sometimes the heart of God is moved by the persistence of His children. And Jesus is saying, you keep praying. Don't give up. Jesus says, listen, when you pray, you want to connect with God, here's how you do it. Let's bring this whole series together, at least the last few lessons in this series. How do you pray? Pray like this. First, spend a lot of time not on yourself, but you begin and you talk to God about Him. Tell God not about you, but about Him. Tell Him how great He is. Declare His glory. Worship Him. Praise Him. Then once you've done that sufficiently, then you're at a place where you're ready to then surrender your will and give your will over to Him. And ask Him then, after you've done the first two, for what you want. Declare His glory, surrender your will, then ask Him for what you need. And when you ask Him for what you need, don't quit asking. Your persistence has the power to move the heart of God. When you ask, He says, keep asking. All of these are in continuous present tense in the original language. When He says, when those that ask receive, those who knock, the door is open, those who seek find. He says, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. You basically are like the man at the door saying, I know you're in there. I know you're in there. I need this. Help me. I'm your child. Let's go for a ride, Dad. And God responds to people that do that. In verse number 10, He says, when you do that, listen to this. This is a promise. For everyone who asks receives. You see, the ask there is keep on asking. The English doesn't really carry the original language here, but literally it's keep on asking. The one who keeps on asking receives. The one who keeps on seeking finds. To one who keeps on knocking, it will be opened to you. You see, what is prayer? It's not so much about getting something from someone. It is about connecting to someone. And when you realize that you're the child and He is your Heavenly Father, and you keep trying to pursue this relationship with Him and be real with Him and share the needs of your heart with Him, and you keep on asking and keep on asking, sometimes what God needs to do before He can give you something is He needs to do something in you. He needs to change your heart. And sometimes when you pray persistently, asking for the same thing over and over again, it is in that process that something changes in you, where maybe you realize that that's not really the will of God after all. Or maybe it's where you are molded to have a little bit better understanding and appreciation for your Father. But when you pray persistently, the promise here is that God will always do something when you keep on asking, when you keep on knocking, when you keep on seeking. Every time, if you do that persistently, God will always do something. He may grant the request, or He may do some kind of transformative work in your heart, but you will receive something if you pray and don't grow weary. You see, He's saying you need to latch on to the thing. What is this thing that you so desperately need to talk to your Father about? Latch on to it and say to Him, God, You are a great God who can do something about this. Let me declare Your glory. This thing that I need, You have the power to do it because You have all supremacy. You have all power. You can do the unimaginable, the unthinkable. I declare Your glory about this thing, and then I'm coming to a place where I come to You for this thing. I keep talking to You about this thing. Why? Because I'm surrendering to Your will. I'm surrendering to You and acknowledging I'm dependent on You, because guess what? This thing that I need You to do, I know it's never going to happen. Nothing's ever going to change in it unless You do it. Now, the question that I want to leave us with today is this. What is it in your life that you are this diligent about in your prayers? That you keep chasing after it and you won't let it go. You latch onto it and you're the one standing at the door, banging on the door, and you keep banging on the door because it's so important and you need God to hear it. What are you that diligent about in your prayers? Because Jesus is saying here, if you really want to connect with God, don't use Him like an a la carte menu at the cafeteria. Don't treat prayer as if you drive up to the drive-thru, you're speaking into the speaker and you're saying, God, help me with this today, this with today, and give me a side of that today. And then the next day you pull up and it's a whole different prayer request. He's saying if you really want to connect with God, you need to figure out what it is in your heart that is the cry of being God's child that you need from Him to feel close to Him, to be more empowered by Him, to see a difference made by Him. And you stand at that door and you don't give up on it. You keep praying about it. You keep knocking at the door and don't quit. Let me ask you something personal. And this is a challenge to me too. What is it in your life right now that is of such gravity that you are identifying and praying about that much and you just will not let it go? We all need to figure out what that thing is. I'll tell you that there are some things regarding the work of God among His people in this church right here that I have been praying about for years, and I keep knocking at that door, and I'm going to keep knocking at that door, and I'm expecting that door to open in God's own good time. What is it of that kind of gravity that you're being diligent about and you're praying about with that kind of fervent request? We need to find that thing and keep knocking at the door. Because when we do, God will do something. He'll either move events in this life to make it happen, or He'll change my heart, He'll change your heart into thinking a little differently about that thing. But whatever it is He does, it will be according to His wisdom and what is most needed. Why? Because He is our Father who is in heaven. And hallowed and glorious is His name. And let us pray that His kingdom will would be done in our lives on this earth, in the here and now, as His will and His power is done in heaven at the present time and always has been. And let us be bold enough to keep going to the door and asking for the bread if that's what it is we need, or whatever that request is that of such gravity, even at midnight, that we are bold enough to keep going to the door and keep knocking. And maybe it is that daily bread, or maybe it is that we have a forgiving heart towards somebody that we've not been able to forgive. And maybe it's because we know the weight of the spiritual war that we're in our own personal lives and in this culture and in the life of this church. And we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Protect us from the things that would destroy us, and keep us together, and help us do bold and courageous things in Your name so that Your kingdom will does come to this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, is there something you need to latch on to? If we can help you in some way in your spiritual walk, maybe it's by latching on to Jesus to start with, because the only way you can pray this way is through Jesus. And you need to be in a relationship with Him. And He invites you to come and to know that intimacy, that connection, that relationship with Him and with His Heavenly Father that is made possible by the sacrificial death that He died on the cross for you personally. Maybe you need to join Him in repentance and baptism this morning, or maybe we can pray with you and for you. If we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing together.